Blog Talk Radio.
In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of In the beginning was the beat, and the beat was the rhythm of God, and the rhythm of God is the harmony of humanity, and where there is harmony, there is peace.
Back to the Us Lifting Us Thursday night call. Hope everyone is doing well, keeping yourself well and keeping yourself safe and keeping yourself nutrified up so that we can survive what's going on in the environment that we're in. And tonight we've got, as we do every week, some interesting conversations, continuing education about things that's going on in the world as well as continuing education about the necessity for us to pool our resources and be a part of Us Lifting Us. And we're going to touch on some of all of that, and we're going to start off with an issue that we really, really must take a serious, serious look. We are in a state of emergency. War is being waged, and too many of us are not realizing that war is being waged and there's a serious emergency in many, many areas of activity. So what we want to start off with as a topic in this first part of the segment is the Us Lifting Us Cooperative Economics Plan is a vital part of our survival strategy. Is artificial intelligence a vital part of our survival, or is it anti-us? And I want to read that question one more time. Is artificial intelligence a vital part of our survival, or is it anti-us? Please ponder that. You write it down if you need to, and think about it if you have not been paying attention to AI or artificial intelligence. We're the ones that's going to save us and the babies, and the elders included. And also, I'm Brother Thurman, a board member of Us Lifting Us, and I'm also on the call with Baba Hakima. Baba Hakima, how you feeling tonight? And give us some good words to open up with.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm doing well, and good to hear that you're doing well, and hopefully everyone in the family is doing as well as they can be, given our unique condition and position in the world. And certainly the topic that you've set for us to discuss is a very serious discussion. And I would think that a lot of people are just really not wrapping their minds around the topic, maybe even thinking that it's simply a tidal wave, that is something that we can't do anything about, and we just simply have to live with the consequences of its emergence and its effect on us and the world. But I'm hopeful that we and the world, but in particular we as African people, will develop strategies and paradigms that will allow us to not only to survive, but turn the direction of development among our people and planet as well. So we look forward to discussion, and we want to encourage our brothers and sisters in the listening audience to join in this discussion with us. It's a big topic, and I don't think I'll speak for myself. I'm not an expert in the area. It's something I'm concerned about, but it's certainly a big enough topic that many of us should feel compelled to wade into the discussion and contribute whatever you have this evening. And of course, Brother Thurman is going to tell you how to call in and identify yourself as a person who wants to participate in the discussion. So thank you, Brother Thurman.
Yes, Baba Hakima, thank you so much. And family members, we urge you to definitely take notes, participate in this call, and you can reach us at 929-477-2789, 929-477-2789, and press 1 when you're ready to speak. Make sure you just give some thoughts about what you really want to say so that we can have time for anyone else that also wants to be on the line. And also, if you're new, if you have not visited the webpage, go to usliftingus.com, usliftingus.com, and it's very essential that you do that because Us Lifting Us is serious, is transparent, and it's got Us Lifting Us has in place the winning plan that we need to take control of the economics of our community. And having taken control of the economics of our community is a vital part of the survival strategy that we must implement quickly in order to survive what I would call the madness of AI, as well as many other things. And there's so much in the news, and if you haven't been seeing it, once again, our question is, the question is, artificial intelligence a vital part of our survival? Is it a vital part of our survival, or is it anti-us? So today, yesterday came out on the BBC News, and it's a piece in here about a burger flipping robot begins its first shift, and they've named this robot, they've named him Flippy. And it says Flippy can handle 12 burgers at once and is destined to replace humans. And so this was posted on the page of Black Liberation Movement. And forgive me right now, I can't recall the brother's name. We had him on the show about 2 weeks ago, Sister Nanana. But it's on his page, posted yesterday. But it's got a picture of a robot at a grill, and it's got cheeseburgers. And there's people that will look at this picture and maybe read the article, and they'll say, well, I want one. Because when we are not awake as a people, we tend to think a lot of this technology stuff is just great, and without realizing that our ancient ancestors, I said ancient ancestors, were very, very aware of technology, but they did not set it up in a way that it was just doing away with the need for people. And also on the Us Lifting Us Facebook page, there's a this was a few days ago, there's a piece that was a one-minute piece that was on the Breakfast Club, and the speaker was Andrew Lang, I believe his last name, L-A-N-G, and he's an Asian that's running for president in 2020. And in his one-minute piece about AI, he says, and others have also said the same thing, in the next 10 years or less, there can be as much as 800 million jobs that will be done away with and no need anymore for. And one of the things that he said at the end of his 60 seconds, he said, now how is this going to play out for African people? He said, you know, it's going to be very, very bad for us. It's going to be very, very bad for everyone. 800 million? Not 800,000, 800 million. And that's just an estimate. And if you attach many other things to that subject, here we are. They are going forth with autonomous automobiles, driverless cars. And what's been coming out on the news? That a lot of these driverless cars, for whatever reason, accident or not, they don't recognize melanated people's skin. And so they have a greater tendency to run over us like it didn't see us. But this is part of AI that some of us are excited about. And so the question is it a vital part of our survival, or is it anti-us? And there is a piece we will try to get to that Sister Deborah sent in, and it actually says that it was saying that we need to be very much aware of the changes of the technology, and I get that, and I'm actually looking for another post that there's a young brother, and I'm not sure, he might be in his 20s, but he's the highest paid in this tech robotics. He's the highest paid person, according to what the article said, in the world dealing with robotics. We just need to take a good look at that and just think of how is that impacting us. And before I go any further, we do have a caller that has a question or comment. And we welcome everyone's input on this subject. And once again, the question is AI a vital part of our survival, or is it anti-us? And so, caller, your last four numbers is 7004. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from and give us your question.
Yeah, greetings. My name is Jesse, and I'm calling out of Atlanta.
Thank you so much, Jeff. Give us your input.
In speaking in terms of AI as something we should be concerned with, I think we should pray for where we would be in the realm of governmental society. And if AI takes the nature of the people who we've presently been dealing with, that the remedy for us would be to be at the helm of AI, because AI would include intelligence, counterintelligence, it would include security, surveillance, and all of these things are going and are happening. So to make it the boogeyman against us because of our roots to the earth would put us at a disadvantage to defend the earth against those who would use it against nature, to include ourselves.
Okay. And so what you're saying to make sure that understanding it, that you need to be at the forefront in charge of this to assure that others will not use it in a detrimental fashion.
Well,
did we get the message right?
Others are going to use it. It's not a question of if they're going to use it.
Uh-huh.
It's how they're going to use it.
Okay.
And if we don't understand what's taking place, or our children aren't at the forefront of knowing what nanotechnology is and consists of, what is static electricity and how is it harnessed, if we're not involved with the experimentation of that to the extent of understanding what are the ramifications, pro and con, because some bad comes with good, some good comes with bad, and you have to keep things equified. There's an equilibrium that we must keep, and unfortunately, the present status quo is unaware or unconcerned with the imbalance that the nature they're keeping is delivering to the earth. And it's hurting them as well, yet there's ignorance is not going to help us. Anything they know, we should know before they know.
Okay. Okay. I get that.
And
all right.
Known.
Yes. All right. Are you involved in the technology in any kind of way?
We're on a conference call right now, and I'm like over 50, so it's affecting me already. And technology, no. I'm trying to communicate the nature that we have to adopt. And
Yes.
The use of technology.
Well, yes.
I apologize.
All right. Yes, Brother Jeffrey. We thank you for calling because we want to just make sure that the line is open for any other callers. And
Jeffrey,
call in. We'll talk to you some
more. Keep
listening. Are you familiar with lifting us?
I apologize.
Are
yes,
you familiar?
Yeah, he's a new member, Brother Thurman. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, brother. Well, we will. We look forward to hearing from you some more. We're just going to open up the lines for some other callers.
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Baba Hakima, did you have?
I think, brother. Yes, if I understood him correctly, just suggested that we need to be aware,
yes,
not just casually, but infinitely aware, and in a position to have an impact or lessen the impact of the ramifications of AI. And I certainly agree with them. You know, AI and some of the other things that we talk about don't just come as a progression of scientific inquiry. Much of the impetus for AI comes from competition in an environment where persons are incentivized by gain or by greed. In other words, you know, capitalism has very much an impact on science. And I think when we look at AI, we look at pharmaceuticals right beside it. You know, it's the same motive. You know, excess profits from a predatory economic system. But anyway, I agree with Brother Yessi that we must intimately be aware and involved. And I'm hopeful that at some point we develop base systems in terms of economics, governance, social management, such that the advances that we make are not such that they replace people or put at risk people and the earth, but that the motive would be what's good for the planet, what's good for life in general, and that the devices that we develop, if they are labor-saving, then that's a blessing, that we don't have to work as hard, but that the benefit that's to be derived is shared and not hoarded. But, yeah, I appreciate it, Brother Yessi's contribution, and we'll continue to discuss the subject. A lot of times when people say artificial intelligence, it's almost like a nebulous kind of notion. And when I think of artificial intelligence, if I identified as thinking machines, then it's more real to me. You know, I got something to grab on to hold on to. And so these thinking machines and the extension of that development, you know, is kind of scary in a way. And certainly, yes, is correct. People are going to engage in their development and in their proliferation. But as African people, wherever we are in the world, and for those of us here in the U.S., the Africans in America, but again, wherever we are, I think our focus must be, again, on learning as much as we can, but developing measures that would incrementally place us in strategic positions such that we would not be at the mercy of what others develop and what others design, that we would be players as well. And in some cases, we would need to oppose certain kinds of development and have a design such that our interjection would counter and maybe even override what other people are playing. In other words, we just can't be contented being the tail. We have to be the dog in some of these scenarios. And so, but artificial intelligence is one of those areas. And the things that you pointed out earlier, and what figure was that?
Eight hundred million.
Right, yeah. At a billion people will be replaced per some projections because of this technology. And and certainly there are forces in the world that could care less. And
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, if these things progress as these experts are predicting, then it's a tsunami. It's a tidal wave in terms of destruction for people who, if you talk about the North and South divide, the Europeans as opposed to all the other people in the world, we know based on progression who the people are that these experts are calculating would bear the brunt of that suffering. It's our people and melanated people on the planet. And I simply say that we, or any people, don't lack necessarily intelligence. Maybe where we are sufficient is in intent. And so certainly our intention, our intent, our aim, our focus must be on protecting ourselves from the damaging effect of these technologies. And of course, we can say, I'm sure we'll continue to say much more about it as we go.
Yes, brother. And we've got a caller, so I want to open up the line for the caller. Caller, the last four numbers on your telephone is 3440-6440. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Greetings, brother. This is Brother Shabaka, and I'm calling from Baltimore, Maryland. I'd like to wish greetings to you. Very important topic, and also to the family who are listening to this conversation. I agree wholeheartedly with Baba and the brother who called in from Atlanta that we must be on top of, but not necessarily use it in the same fashion as Europeans tend to use it, because their intent in any tool that they develop is to sustain their control because of the minority population that they represent on the face of the earth. In order to control the earth, all right, they find themselves needing to increase advanced weaponry, and then to have machines think. But we have to maybe clarify what we're talking about when we say machines thinking. These machines are programmed, and they're programmed by people, all right, all right, to operate in the same fashion that they would operate in, but at a much faster pace. You know, when we talk about computers in particular, we're talking about, you know, electrons going across a wire, logic gates using semiconductor materials that direct them and give a response as if these impulses are thinking, the same way that we have electrical impulses in our brain think. But they're programmed by people. And, you know, with a certain lack of, for lack of a better word, spiritual or moral perception of life. So we need to know what is going on, but not operate the same way. And I usually tell some of my friends that I am not necessarily, you know, so impressed with the European technology as much as I am impressed with our own technology, in particular the building of the pyramids, you know, thousands of years ago, the Dogons in Mali, all right, having knowledge of a dwarf star in the Sirius system without the use of a telescope, at least the French who examined that country in and updated and all out, couldn't find what they would use in order to identify a dwarf star that didn't deliver as much light, but was there. In other words, Sirius was a two-star system or a binary system. All right, but the Dogons knew about it. All right, and so, you know, they viewed as primitive tribe out of Mali, West Africa. So I'm not impressed with the technology until somebody can explain to me the techniques or the technology that existed among them and people coming from Egypt and other parts of the African continent, how they did things. And I myself, who traveled in Africa, I mean, I experienced some things that I can't explain using current technology or science that I was instructed in. I mean, I just couldn't explain it. So I'm saying we need to be aware, because their motive is to sustain control, but that control, well, even the number, and let me jump on the number that you just gave, Brother Thurman, and that is the 800 million, to replace under 800 million. Well, what happens to the 800 million that are replaced? You know, where do they go? They just die off, disappear? What happens to them? All right, so in order to control the planet, technology has to be developed, which will allow the dialogue, because I was understand that just something that I a few weeks ago was reading, that the European can better control the planet if it was at 2 billion as opposed to 7.3 billion. So obviously, if there is intent to control, it would definitely need to reduce the population as it is right now in order to control it betterly. At the same time, we're draining it of the resources that it is needed in order to build the various materials in which AI would be fitted in. And I'll leave that here, but I go along with both. We need to be aware, may not necessarily use it in the same fashion, but we need to be aware because it's an instrument to attack and control. And with that, brothers, I hope I added a little bit more to the conversation. Thank you.
Oh, yes, you did. Thank you so much, brother. And I would add that when he said he mentioned being able to reduce the population is a very serious matter. And also in the news, it's been out for some weeks now, maybe to the public anyway. There's been some discussion that's related to what they either have already, in terms of them admitting that they've started, and including Bill Gates being behind it. That they claim that now they're going to do an experiment that would block out more of the rays of the sun, which means that the planet as well as the people would not get the benefit from the sun that we really need to be well and for the plants to be nourishing plants. And so therefore, however we consume the plants, if we consume the plants directly or indirectly by way of the animals that eat the plant, we eat the animals. And that's also in the news. And so along with other things, including, and Bill Gates have been for years saying that we should dramatically reduce the population. And so the discussion about AI have gone in depth in terms of talking about that there would be chaos and that there would need to, there's plans to have some way of dealing with that, but the chaos would not be a pleasant experience at all. Bob, go right ahead.
Yeah, I kind of chuckle when we talk about artificial intelligence. We think of smart machines. What about dumb AI? In other words, you can't be certain that the machines that you develop are always going to be smart.
Well,
sometimes they may be dumb in the sense that they may mutate and maybe even be programmed to be very destructive as opposed to beneficial. In other words, we assume intelligence is good. Sometimes intelligence is diabolical. So, and also the mishaps. But, you know, it's hard for me to wrap my mind around. Well, one of the streets in my neighborhood is designated as a smart corridor. And I didn't know what that meant. And one of the politicians talked about it. And so Camelton Road in Atlanta, in the black community, and there are other smart corridors in Atlanta and in all cities, these will be the first corridors that anticipates cameras, driverless vehicles, and all of the amenities necessary for the buses, the trains, the cars, or whatever else to be automated and autonomous. And so we're on the drawing board as well. So, I assume that for the city planners and others, they look forward to ushering in these new these new technologies. And of course my thought is that when you talk about intelligence, you normally think about it being on the positive tip, but you can have dumb AI and AI that goes haywire as well. And so I just intimating that. But I think overall what for us in ULU, as we look at any kind of technology, we want to look at it from the standpoint of being beneficial for our people, beneficial for the planet in general. And we know that at the base of that concern is our being wedded to and attached to the work of putting systems and institutions in place that would further those objectives on our behalf, those objectives that allow us to ensure the safety and welfare of our people. And we're in opposition to anything that doesn't contribute to the safety and welfare of our people. So we know that the dominant cultural patterns that we see around us, particularly in the West, are anti our people, with AI or without it. And so the technology that we must, in my opinion, wrap our arms and our hearts and our minds around now is technology that will give us the capacity to control the economics of our own community. And, of course, that bleeds over into some other social aspects as well. Culture is a part of that. Governance is a part of that. But in Us Lifting Us, we focus on the economics. And I dare say that the concern that the planet, that we and the planet should have about AI comes from the fact that persons and peoples have designed economic systems that are predatory, that not only from a technology point of view, but even in the marketplace, seeks to separate everything into its smallest bit so that it has to, so that it can be successful in marketing to, and from an economic standpoint, controlling and devouring and exploiting every element in the economy, in the society, and in the biosphere, so to speak. So the technology that I think African people would be best to focus on, and certainly brothers and sisters in the scientific arena will focus on AI and other aspects of technology. But the technology that will allow us to be victorious in the end, I think, is social technology, such that we would be able to reorganize, reconfigure based on family-centered values, how it is that we function in the world, and how we build communities, build families, and hold those communities and family together with economic and other principles in the education and in the health and nutrition arena that spoke to us being infinitely more capable of organizing ourselves for advancement and for protection. And, again, understanding what AI is and what other forces are around us, but that that in Ulu, for instance, we talk about family-centered economics. And when we talk about family-centered economics, we're really talking about organizing our commercial activities, our economics, our sharing, and taking care of our basic needs that take into the account that it's not the material, the things that we point to that are the most valuable or the most precious. It's the people, the culture, and then there are even deeper things that even underline the people and the culture. And so, one of the things I think the last two times I was on the radio show, I talked about my concentration lately on what the Chinese are doing in the world. And one of the things that gives them power and propel what they are doing in the world now is that they use their ancient culture as a springboard. You know, it hadn't been that many years, 150 years, maybe even less, that the Chinese was the dominant economy on the planet, and that existed for a long, long time. And then they were overrun by Europe and other forces and the Japanese. And so, but their current thrust in the world, even though we may be looking at it from a technological standpoint, but the springboard of what they are doing comes from their ancient culture. And those of us who want to be successful as African people in the world, the technology, whether it's in banking, whether it's in medicine or treatment, or whether it's in agriculture, whatever arena it is, we're going to win based on the fact that that is connected to who we are at base and our roots and our culture as well. So anyway, I just wanted to say that that in ULU, Us Lifting Us Economic Development Cooperative, and I say it in this way, in our basic documents, we have a 22-page operating agreement, which is essentially our bylaws, but we also have a 4-page values and ethics document that we put them side by side, because without the values and ethics, without some concern and attention to the culture, then the things we do mechanically will get us in trouble if they're not rooted and based in who we are, also in light of who it is that we intend to be in the future. Excuse my going astray for then, and so hopefully the family didn't lose me.
No, you on point, Robert Hakima, and family members, we've got so much to cover in this subject that we were talking about in the beginning of the hour. Is a very serious matter, and there's a lot of moving pieces. And as you said, when you mentioned dumb intelligence, and that certainly has existed, because the Japanese or some Asians opened up the first AI hotel that had a bunch of robots. And it turned out to be some dumb intelligence. And that particular hotel is now staffed with people. And somewhere on the premises, they've got a room stacked up with robots that are just in storage because it didn't work. But also, it has come out in the news, supposedly, in maybe in an Asian country, that they were doing some undercover work with some AI robots, and the robots actually kind of mutated, as you said earlier, and supposedly took some lives, but they didn't come out on the national news. And also, another level of danger is that it's also in the news that was March the 18th or 19th, or I believe it was the 18th, March the 15th, and it's in the headlines. HuffPost has it. And Trump encourages violence from his supporters, and they are listening. And the supporters that he specifically called out was the police, the military, and the biker group. And then he made reference to when he was campaigning, he mentioned those same people. And when he was campaigning, he said, "Are my biker people here?" And they said, "Yeah." And he said, "They're some tough people." And he said, "If things get a certain way, they would be very tough." And that means cruel or brutal.
Yeah.
But would those people, if they have access to AI, would they use it to be humanitarian or not? And so, Baba Hakima, we needed to, family, it's very important that we communicate with each other, but we do have, We're here every Thursday at 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. And Baba Hakima, would you, and before I say that, Baba Hakima, family, those, if there's any new members, new people on the call, even new members, but those that are new to us, living us, just last weekend we had a tremendous 2019 Us Lifting Us annual meeting and convention, and it was powerful. It was business. It wasn't fun and joy out in the sunshine of Africa, but it was a beautiful, harmonious gathering, and we did some good bonding with each other, not just during the meetings, but even after the meeting was over into the night. And it left a lot of folks, you know, just feeling that we would go away and just wanted to live in that kind of energy all of the time, which we can. And we need everybody's participation to build on that so that we can be that way all of the time. But Baba Hakima, we've got someone wants to speak to us with a question or comment. Just a minute, please. Telephone number 6093-6093. Please give us your name and tell us where you're calling from.
Yes, thank you. This is Nanana, and I'm calling from Denver, Colorado. How are you doing, Brother Thurman?
Oh, I'm excited. You know, I'm already on the line with Baba Hakima, and Brother Shafaka's been on the line, and Brother Jeffrey, and now Sister Nanana. Yes.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to add a little something to the discussion, the dialogue this evening, and I will try to be brief. I just want to say that from my perspective, one of the greatest dangers that I see with artificial intelligence is that we stand to lose our ability to be in touch with our instincts. We stand to lose our ability to develop meaningful relationships. And those two things, I think, are absolutely vital for our survival on this earth, and that our instincts, our sixth sense, as some people call it, really should be what we are using most of the time to assist us in making decisions and in every aspect of life that we have. Those gut instincts are there for a reason. But with attention being given to robotics or artificial intelligence, all of that is being downplayed and, you know, in certain ways is being wiped out. I see that very dangerous because the instinct, I judge, is also attached to your conscience. And if you do not have a conscience around decisions that you make and behaviors that you might display, I think that there's greater potential and greater possibility for human beings to display inappropriate behavior. And then the last thing I want to say, as far as relationships are concerned, you know, artificial intelligence in the form of robots are being developed to do just about anything and everything. So for me, what is really scary is the thought of having a robot performing child care. Mm-hmm. I mean, if we can have a robot to flip hamburgers and do all of these other things, we can have a robot change a diaper. We can have a robot to perform surgery. We can have robots to do all of these other things. We can have a robot to be playmate for a child. And so thinking about all of these potentials and possibilities, I see that there is great danger, I judge, that what we consider normal interaction and normal human relationships and abilities to communicate with each other are being threatened. So that is what I would have to offer, and thank you for the opportunity to add to the discussion this evening.
Yes, and thank you so much, Sister Nanana. Baba Hakima, any comments? We've got about 10 minutes, and we can go right on with this subject that is a real serious and complicated subject to discuss. But I did want to just remind whatever you want to follow up with, Sister Nanana, and also to any your thoughts and excitement about the Members' Convention.
Yeah, I thought her comments on AI were right on spot when she talked about a robot attending to a child. That sends chills down your spine. And, of course, I would imagine that they're already out there, or if not, in effect on drawing boards. So that's the direction things are going. But yet, March 15th, 16th, and 17th here in Atlanta, ULU members from across the country and from two other countries beyond America came, at least two of the countries. That Friday, the 15th, we had a meet and greet at Cafe ULU had a good time bonding and fellowshipping with each other. And then on the 16th and 17th, pretty much all day, and it was a closed session for ULU members only, we dealt with a business portion of what we needed to do, because ULU is a democratic formation. It's a business, but it's a collective, a co-op. And just as you would think, we have elected leadership. So we had some work to do in replacing three board slots, and we were fortunate enough to come out of the convention with three very capable sisters that will be joining the board and giving greater balance. As a matter of fact, they're the majority now. Or, no, they're not the majority now, but at least it gives balance, much balance. And but we were able to get started some work that we've talked about and formatted, but we were able to incubate some greater clarity in terms of some developmental work that we had to do. But you're right. The degree of bonding, some of us had heard each other's voices. We'd seen each other's emails. We may have even seen each other's picture in the ULU community and at other places on our website. But none of that beats actually being able to wrap your arms around our sisters and brothers that you have known from a distance. And so a lot of that went on. We were able to eat with each other, be in the same space in a fairly small area, one building on a college campus we had to ourselves, with an auditorium and breakout rooms and a nice caterer to come and feed us. And so it was a great 3 days together. And we're going to have to, Brother Thurman and the other board members who are listening, we're going to have to turn around in a few weeks and cement the team that will start planning for next year. And it will be even bigger and even better. But, for brothers and sisters who are listening to us from our website on the Internet, and for those of you who are called in and you're not members, it's important that when you look at Us Lifting Us on our website, on our Facebook page, wherever you are taking a look at us from, just consider that we are a business formation structured as a cooperative with a democratic process, one member, one vote, and that it is a benefit-rich environment that we are creating. Not only are we positioning ourselves to pool our resources and do some things that empower our communities locally, but also our platform and our structure and our process allow some of the benefits to accrue to our member owners as well. And these member owners are not only individuals, they're businesses and other institutions as well. But I would encourage everybody who is listening to us this evening and you're not a member to position yourself so that you're with us next year at our annual meeting and convention, whether that's in Atlanta or whether that's in another country or another city, because we have members scattered in other places as well. But yes, it was a beautiful experience, very uplifting, and it just simply points to the precious work that we have before us. I often say that ULU is still in diapers because we're very new. But even though we're new, we're not confused about who we are and where we're going and why we're going where we're going. And so I'm looking at the clock. I know that we only have a few moments left. And I would encourage everyone to go to our webpage, our website, usliftingus.com. Again, usliftingus.com. And, of course, that name is appropriate because we know that we have to lift ourselves. It's us lifting us because nobody else is going to lift us, nor should anyone else lift us. We don't want to have that thought even in our minds. And when you get there, not only look at what's on the Us Lifting Us website, but also visit our Cafe ULU website, cafeulu.com as well. Our email address, info@usliftingus.com. Again, info@usliftingus.com. And our phone number, 404-592-2780. Brother Thurman, I'm sure I've left out something important as we close, but you take it over.
Yes, Baba Hakima, thank you so much for being on the call with us and sharing your knowledge. And family members, we're here every Thursday. And also you can reach the home office of Us Lifting Us, as Baba Hakima had said, at 404-592-2780. And there's just lots more information to take in that's vital to our survival concerning Us Lifting Us. And it's absolutely essential that we circle up, pool our resources to be prepared to navigate through the various things that's coming our way and be prepared for survival, have a serious survival strategy in place. It's very essential that you take a good look, if you have not done so, at Us Lifting Us, the webpage, usliftingus.com. Make sure you look at it, the video, the presentation that's on the three videos on the right-hand side of the home page, and the top video is the presentation. Very essential that you do it. Very essential that we join up with each other and provide the resources and the security that we very much need in this state of emergency to survive, because others around the world, that's not their intent on saving us or being righteous to us. They historically never have. And so we're going to end, and we'll be back here next Thursday. But you can, as it was said earlier, you can reach us and you can contact us and leave your information, contact information, at usliftingus.com, and you can also email us at info at usliftingus.com. And as Baba Hakima has said, CafeUlu.com, CafeUlu.com, and you can go to Cafe Ulu on Facebook, and that will keep you aware of the various events, and there are a number of events for seniors, for children, chess, music, presentations, including on Saturdays, Us Lifting Us presentations, and a whole lot more, and that's at Cafe Ulu, and look for that on the Facebook page. And also, Us Lifting Us keeps you aware of other community events on the Facebook page, Us Lifting Us. We're going to end for tonight, and just remember, Sister Nanana was telling us about there's some inner power in so many words that we have, and we are failing ourselves if we're not tuning into it or using it. And as one brother wrote, he said, some things will fall apart in order for other things to fall in place. So I'm going to repeat that. Some things will fall apart in order for other things to fall in place. And perhaps that might include if we awaken back to our higher self, like our high culture ancestors, some things will fall apart in order for other things to fall in place. Talk to you next week, family.